Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
There are so many Christian women with fascinating stories, whether missionaries, musicians, reformers, authors, or wives and mothers, their examples are inspirational to us all.
And so true.
We're going to find out about Megan today in part two. Cheryl.
Part two. We have Megan Havilar in studio. And as I said in part one, I have the privilege of working with Megan. And I had the privilege of being the Sunday school teacher to her youngest son, which is another story. And that might take us into part three. We'll see how we do today, because I don't want to miss one iota. She was telling us some details before the program, and I was like, oh, you have to share that. You have to share that. So far we have Megan born in Colorado, Denver, and because of the influence of a really great, godly youth pastor and his wife, and their steadfastness in Jesus and their passion for Jesus, Megan received a passion for Jesus herself and a desire to go on the mission field, which led her to a missions conference where she applied to go to Bible college in Hungary. And she thought she'd be there 1 year, and so far she's been there 5 years. Now, I have to go back to a little bit. How many from Hungary, how many missions trips do you think you went on while you were there?
Oh, so many. Mm-hmm. We had to do one a semester, and then we also had weekend outreaches we were required to do within different cities in Hungary. Mm-hmm. But my first outreach trip, my very first semester, I went to Ukraine. And that was also life-changing. Mm. I mean, that was the first time I ever, like prayed with someone to get saved. Mm. And that was, like,
that's dynamic.
Yes, just all these things. Like, God was, like, yeah, so good and faithful. And I know, like, it was nothing of me. It was Him, you know? And so, but just experiencing that and really, truly seeing someone's life, like, go from darkness to light and, you know, despair to joy. Like, experiencing that was like, yeah, nothing like it.
And I think, too, when you go out on your, you meet the people who have left everything to serve in the mission field. And I think at the time that you went, probably the Markies were there.
Yeah.
And George and Pam are this, George and Pam Markey, you can barely say their name without awe.
Yeah.
Because they left literally everything. They had a thriving church. Pam was almost a doctor, could have been. She's brilliant. They had how many children? I think it's
seven or eight
biological children. Mm-hmm. And they left all. I mean, when George Markey called Brian and said, Brian, I feel led to Siberia, Brian's like, no, you've got to be kidding. Like, no, you've got a thriving church. You've got these kids. You know, it's too
that
much.
Can't be right.
They packed up everything and they went in obedience to the Lord. And each of their children has become a legend of their own. I mean, right now, two of the Markey boys are still serving in the Ukraine and they're coordinating all the relief. Mm-hmm. They're brave. They're wonderful. But you meet.
Yeah.
You meet, like you said, in part one, you met this couple who just stayed steadfast, even though their church was not exploding or growing like the other ones in Hungary, but they stayed and they become like, you're an example of perseverance.
Totally. Yep. Mm-hmm. And those were, it's like looking back, it's like, I needed those examples.
Absolutely.
I needed those people who would like, whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to be here. I'm going to serve you, follow you, love your people, no matter, what happens. And so, I was really thankful for a lot of those examples.
So during that 5 years at Bible College in Vita, though, you saw a lot of changes, because especially in staff, because it was a place where people might serve on staff and then they would go out to the mission field.
Totally. All the time. Yep. Mm-hmm. Even as interns, like Sean and I, that's when I met my husband, Sean. We were interns at the same time. And so many of them went out to be missionaries or pastors or just in ministry. As well. When we get to Ethiopia, this is where I met Argo, who was the Ethiopian student who was a refugee in Hungary, got saved from, different missionaries from Calvary Budapest. Anyway, they sponsored him to come to the Bible College. And so that's where we met. So Sean and I, my husband, we always say this, like, God has led us relationally. Like, everywhere we've gone, it's always been, like, very relational. And it's like, man, when you look back to Bible college in these times and you see, wow, I met that person and that person and that person, and how all of our stories are woven together. And we just, you know, you become such that family in God and Christ. Like, yeah, it's amazing. Like, we have people we know and love all over the world, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, yeah, it's just amazing.
And which is so ironic, because when you first went to Bible college, you said, I'm not making
exactly.
any friends. And God's like, really? That's part of how
exactly.
I work, is through friends and relationships. So, I mean, it's very dangerous to say that the Lord, I've got an objective and yeah. this is how I'm going to serve you. And God's like,
Well, it's also clear how we have this perception of
yes.
in order to serve God, I have to be so straightforward and serious and,
comrade.
Yes.
You know, comrade. Exactly.
Because
and
the work
serving.
Has to get
yes.
done and yeah. the time is drawing short. And yet always just the yeah. way of Jesus is
exactly.
one by one.
Yep.
That relationship.
Yep. I know it's funny. It's like, it's not even like I had that perception of anybody. But it's just, that was just in me, I think, to think
because
that.
I think we have sometimes these stringent ideas about what God wants from our life mm-hmm. and how he's going to accomplish it. And he says, what if I want to accomplish it by love?
Yeah.
What if I want to accomplish it by blessing? We're like, oh, do you work that way? And he's like, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yep.
So now you're mm-hmm. at Bible yeah. College. Now, mm-hmm. I want to know, what year were you at when you actually met Sean?
We interned at the same time. So I did 2 years of Bible college. Well, a year of Bible college, a year of missions training program. And then I started my internship. And Sean had come over for the A Vision for Life summer youth program.
Right.
So in the summers, we had this A Vision for Life youth discipleship program for high schoolers and college age kids, just to come in the summer and kind of get a little taste of missions and Bible college. And, you know, they say it takes 6 weeks to form a habit or to break a habit. So mm-hmm. just to encourage people to come and come out and do that. And so Sean was part of the first summer. He came from here. He's from here. He's originally from Orange County. And so through the church, through Calvary Costa Mesa, he heard, yeah, about this discipleship program. And so he went out that summer. And then after the summer, the pastors asked him to come back and intern the next year.
How old is he at this point?
He was 20. He had graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
So 22 at the time.
Okay.
23. Yep.
So now, when you first met him, when he first came on campus,
oh, yeah.
any sparks?
Oh, no. No. I did not know him at all. I had known everybody else. And I think that was a hard thing for him too, coming into this group who we had all known each other. And
right.
he was the new guy who didn't go to Bible college.
Right, right.
So we were just like, just getting to know who he was, you know. But on our internship team was our friends Tim and Grace, who we ended up serving with too in Las Vegas, was Argo, our Ethiopian friend who we served with. Prince from Nigeria was also part of our internship program. Like, we just had a really great group of interns. And so nothing there. We just, did our jobs.
How did that change?
Well, we got to know each other and become good friends. And so we kind of, I think always, just had a really great friendship with each other. And we just always had that foundation. And for me, I wasn't there to necessarily find a husband or, you know, anything like that. I was very clear, like, God is going to use me on the mission field.
No relations.
That's what I want.
Yes. No. Especially, yes.
But, you know, with Sean, we just got to be really close. So I stayed. He actually went back to the States after his internship program, and he felt called to go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He thought maybe he'd go to Nigeria and join our friend Prince, but the visa didn't work out. So Phil asked him to come back to Hungary and, like, just wait out the visa thing here, figure out where you're going to go. So he came back, and we'd stayed in touch this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so while he was there, Argo was there, and he was like, Sean was like, okay, well, I think I'll just go. I think I'm going to go to Ethiopia, and I think I'm going to go serve with Argo and Rachel. Rachel is Argo's wife. They met at the Bible college. She's from Indiana. We were roommates. We were, roommates together. I remember Rachel coming in and just feeling this calling to go to Ethiopia.
Mm.
And she's like, I know there's a trip to Ethiopia, and I mm-hmm. think there's an Ethiopian person here. And I was like, yes, there is. And so I introduced her to Argo. Anyway, they got married 9 months later, went to Ethiopia right after that. And Sean and Argo were really close. Sean was in Argo and Rachel's wedding. And yeah, they were really close during our internship time. So yeah, anyway, just all these relationships and relational things. So Sean came, thought he was going to go to Ethiopia. And then, yeah, we just kind of happened real quick. So the end of my 5 years of the Bible time at the Bible College, I knew I was going to... I was planning on going back to the States and actually going to serve with my youth pastor and his wife. They were planning a church in the mountains. And they were like, come serve with us. And I was like, yes, like, definitely. So they were going to the mountains and planning a church. And so that was, again, my plan was to end my time of my 2 years on staff. And that was my plan. Sean's plan was, okay, I'm moving with Argo and Rachel to Ethiopia. This was his plan. And yeah, God just kind of, it was time, you know, like looking back, there were things that like, this wasn't the right time. And I think for Sean and I, if we'd gotten together any sooner or, you know, it just wasn't the right time.
And Cheryl and I know what that's like.
Yes.
And, you know, actually, I was going to say, this is really important. We have young women who listen. We know because we hear from them. But it's so important for those young women that are listening to know that the ways that God works, it's always relational, but he prepares hearts. And his timing is just right at the right time.
Absolutely.
So that it's not dependent on the feelings or do we have all the same interests and things that are always being fed to us through the culture, but with the way we have seen God work in couples for generations has just been that calling and that drawing until one day you just sort of look at each other and say, I can't imagine another day of my life without doing life right beside you. And it feels like you're already established. So
and the
I
friendship,
love that
the friendship factor, becoming friends.
Right. Yep.
I think about the scripture in Song of Solomon, do not awaken love before it's time.
Yes.
And I think, you know, there's a time when God awakens the love. At the right time. So I love that. So now you and Sean, you're serving together.
And off to Ethiopia, which is in Africa.
Yes.
So Sean was
right about that. Did you think Sean was like just a great guy? I mean, you had admiration for him?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you have lived and served with someone like that, like at the Bible College, like you are doing everything together. You know, everything.
Right.
So you get to see the true colors of people very quickly. And I think there sometimes people got together real quick and then they broke up real fast. Because you're just, it's not like, oh, I'll call you and see you in a few days. Or, you know, we were just this very concentrated time.
Right.
So you got to know each other really well. And I think, there was just always a steadiness about him.
I love that.
Yeah. And I just felt very like cared by him. And just our friendship was
how did
so
it
keen.
Win? And how did it go to the next level?
Okay. So
I love these stories.
We were in Austria, actually, at the we had a staff retreat. We would take staff retreats there every year. It was the end of the spring semester. So like May-ish time. In August, I was going to go to Colorado. In July, Sean was going to go to Ethiopia. That was, you know, so this was kind of our last time together as a staff. Some of us were moving on and stuff like that. So we were in Austria and just having a beautiful time with each other. And one of the pastors for our session was encouraged all of us to go grab our Bibles and our journals and go spend time with God. Like, you're in this beautiful place, like go, like just go be by yourself, spend time with the Lord. And so we all did that. And for Sean, that's when he felt like, like the Lord really impressed me upon his heart during that time. And he kind of explains it like the Lord just kind of showed him this picture show of me and just me being used as an instrument of grace in his life. And so, it just all came coming. I think that awakening, you know, and I had no idea. Like this was not even on my radar at the time, you know, so this happens and he's like, well, how do I talk to her about this? And, you know, didn't really know the timing. And so we get back to Hungary and, you know, from the Bible, from the retreat. And he was like, I need to talk to you. And I was like, okay. And I was like, not sure why, but it was very important. And so I remember we sat outside of the Bible College in Hungary and there's like lightning going on in front of us. And he's like, I need you to pray about us. And I was like, what? did I hurt your feelings? Like, I had no idea what he was talking about. And then he just explained to me just kind of what happened in Austria and all of that. And I was like, wow, kind of shocked, you know, because we were kind of both headed in these different directions. But he was a good friend, mm-hmm. you know. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll pray about it. You know, it's like, go either way. I don't know at this point. But yeah, so he left and he actually went on a trip to see his family in Holland. And I stayed in Hungary and just kind of like talked to people and prayed about it and was, you know, yeah, really needing to seek the Lord on this. But after, I'd say about, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks, I was just in my quiet time and I was going through Ezekiel. And I remember the chapters about the rebuilding of the temple. And just while I was reading that, I just kind of got this picture in my mind of Sean and I kind of built like a temple and his spirit was dwelling in between us, mm-hmm. you know? So I just felt like, okay,
in Ezekiel,
Lord, like,
of all places.
I know. It wasn't. Wow.
And
it wasn't
this will
like,
become very significant.
Oh.
Probably in part 3.
And that's why you got all teared up.
Oh, I am so dying. Yes, already I'm just dying. So I'll tell you one of the reasons I'm dying. Sean shared a couple weeks ago, and I saw Megan on the edge of her seat, and I saw him look to her for affirmation and her just smiling. And you could see the love between them. And it was so beautiful. I mean, I wanted just to like keep going back and forth like, oh, there's Sean. There's Megan.
Aww.
It was just so sweet. So this is like, it's so beautiful what the Lord does. Now I've got Megan crying.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
I know.
Now I've got Robin tearing up.
The Lord knits hearts together.
Yes.
Yeah. That's truly what it is.
Yeah.
So that friendship is so important as the foundational.
Totally.
So when did
beginning.
You realize you were actually in love? Or this was love?
I just felt like, okay, Lord, like this is from you, clearly. You know? So I went and I talked to Sean about it and I was like, okay, I think this is it. And I know it was like for marriage. You know, it's not like we needed to get to know each other. No, I knew this was for marriage.
Yeah, you already knew each other. Yes.
And so this happened on a Wednesday that I talked to him and was like, okay, let's take this step forward, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like when that happened, it was like, yes, like I feel like I did see him in a different light. Like, I do love you like that. And the next day we went out and ran some errands for the Bible college and just doing everyday things. And I feel like Sean remembers me just kind of like looking at him in the store. And I just was like, I love you. Like, like this is like,
wow.
I want to.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that happened. And then that was a Thursday. We did that and said, I love you. And Friday, he had to go pick up one of the pastors in Hungary at the airport. And unbeknownst to me, Argo went with him, our mm-hmm. Ethiopian friend, and he bought a ring.
Wow.
And then on Saturday was supposed to be kind of our first date. And so we went to the bigger city where a lot of us often go to watch movies, have food, you know, that kind of a thing. And there was a special Italian restaurant that we, would go to. And that's kind of like where he wanted to propose. So we get there and he's like, oh, kind of putting me off the scent. Like, maybe we could look at some rings while we're here. And I was like, okay, you know. But we get to the Italian restaurant and it's closed.
Oh, no.
But it's in this like little courtyard area. It was, so for me, it was perfect because nobody was around. It wasn't this grand big gesture.
Corner.
And he was felt kind of deflated. But but we just like, he's like, can we just sit down? And I said, yeah. And so we sat down and And that's kind of when he proposed to me.
Did he go on a knee?
Yeah, he did.
Aww.
And I was really shocked when he pulled out the ring. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, when did you have time to get this? But so he goes through his little spiel and asks me to marry him. And I just was like kind of frozen. And he was like, but if you're not ready. And I was like, no, I'm ready. So that was my yes. I was like, I think I just was shocked at the timing, but it was perfect.
So sweet.
It was perfect.
So how long after that did you get married and where did you get married?
Yeah. So Sean ended up going to Ethiopia for the month of July.
Wow.
He went for the month of July, and then I went back to the States, but, you know, not to go serve with my youth pastor and his wife, but we got married in December. So this was June, beginning of June, And then he went to Ethiopia. We kind of both moved back to the States in August, and we moved back to Colorado, where I'm from. And that's where we...
Oh, that's great, because it gives your mom a chance to...
Yes, all of our families.
Yes.
Yep.
Because it's crazy, because you've known each other for 5 years, but your mother hasn't known Sean.
Right, yep.
And Sean's family hasn't known you.
Nor did she even hear about him.
Right.
Little by little in the letters. Yep. Oh, he's really cute. I think I like him. No, just... Hi, I'm home, and I got a ring on my finger.
And, you know, there's this guy I've known for, you know, a few years.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we moved back to Colorado and just kind of got jobs, and we're like, okay, I think this is where we're going to be for a time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to be,
So how long were you in Colorado?
We were there for a little over a year.
So just kind of being established as a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, we got back, planned a wedding, got married, had our jobs. Which I think was really good for us. Mm-hmm. Just like real life and having to pay rent.
First year, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it in the Old Testament that says if your first year of
Deuteronomy.
Marriage, don't even go into service or fighting for your people.
Priesthood or the ministry.
Right.
First
year is set aside so then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have that time with each other.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted, was time with each other, you know? So I was, really thankful that we could just live our lives, you know? but I knew, I think we both knew inside of us that this wasn't
permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we really both had a feeling that, like, there was going to be something later. And we had a desire, just as we were back in the States too, just kind of seeing just where things were headed and how, like, the youth were doing. And it was just kind of like, kind of eye-opening, having been gone for so long.
It is.
Coming back,
it is.
And you're like, we still want to see people walk in all that God has for them.
That's
another
right.
affirming pattern of how God worked in your life. Rome, but that's not it.
Yep.
Or we'll even start Denver.
Yep.
I'm here, but no, there's more.
The circuitous.
Yes.
Because every place has purpose.
Yes.
Again, we want to get straight to the objective, and God saying, no, I have a purpose in each of these places.
He does.
So now you and Sean are in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting this little bit of journey. This is not it. So what happens next?
Yeah. So we, Sean kind of took, he was working two jobs, kind of took a step of faith to quit one job because, we just were like really missing time with each other. And we're like, man, like, why are we having to like work so hard? And anyway, so then, we kind of got a call from Phil and he was like, hey, they had a couple pastors and families that were moving on from the Bible College to go and serve in other places, New Zealand and England. And he was like, hey, would you guys pray about coming back out here? And we were like, wow, like didn't think it was an option.
Yes.
Like kind of both of us thought
so
that, that door had
didn't
closed.
Didn't see this coming. Mm. Didn't see Sean proposing. Didn't see staying at the Bible College for 5 years. Yes.
Developing
we do. I love that.
But it's so good. It was, it was for us, again, having that desire of like, wow, we want to see people walk in all that. God has for them.
Yes.
The Bible College is the perfect place.
Can I say this too, that too often we expect the Lord to tell us the whole, you know, like tell, like when I do GPS, right? I like to look at where each street that I'm going to turn on before I even consult the map. I like to look at the instructions, then go to the map. And it doesn't work that way spiritually. God often does not tell us where we're going or what we'll do, probably because we will...
because it's a walk of faith.
Yes, we'll get ahead of him.
It's and so that all we have to do is stay close to him, follow him.
Yep. And listen.
Yeah.
So you're having turnings, you're thinking about going back to the Bible College.
Yep. Phil asks us to go back and we were like, you know, took a little bit of time to pray about it and we felt like, I think this is where we're supposed to go. And we were like genuinely excited about it and... You know, we just were like, okay, I think this is where we want to go.
What was the role that he was seeing?
He was going to be a pastor and a teacher. So, so he would get ordained and be one of the teaching pastors. And then when we got there, it was really cool because then he got to oversee the A Vision for Life program. So the program that, you know, he was involved with that really God got hold of his heart.
Yes.
With we got to oversee that and run that for a couple of years while we were there. So that was really special. Yeah. And we had our kids out there and
So, I mean, that is something too, because you had your, you had your son, mm-hmm. Judah, mm-hmm. and then you had your daughter, Sonia. I mean, how many people have children on the mission field?
Yeah.
So, again, I told you, I warned you that we
you knew,
might
Cheryl.
Need three parts, because if you think it's been exciting and good, wait for part three, because I know just a little bit of it and I'm so excited. So join us next week, part three.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not so well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at WWK@CCCM.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.